Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Jim Masters here. A real pleasure to have you tuning in. Also, always a pleasure when we chat with Christine Rose, honored business coach, author, speaker. We've been discussing powerful, genuine leadership this spring, and it's been absolutely incredible. And we're so excited to have her here because she is very passionate about what she does. The subject matter for today's leaders, both women and men, is these topics. She's the founder of CEO Excel, which is a new virtual learning community for CEOs of $1 million plus, those revenue companies. Well-recognized business and executive coach specializing in coaching CEOs and leadership teams as well. She also holds several certifications, including Certified Value Builder, TM Advisor, and Certified Psychological Safety Coach, supporting companies in their efforts to form a more equitable culture, which leads to greater innovation as well. Building up a business employee culture and morale is also a topic that we've been talking about throughout the month of April. She's also a certified Canfield Success Principles Trainer, keynote speaker, and was listed on the top 15 women business coaches for the year of 2022, and also further honored as top business coach 2019, received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from the Office of the President, and also she works one-on-one with CEOs and other top executives to help them be more effective and more proactive and to succeed not only in industry but in the eyes of their teams. Christine is also recognized as a best-selling author of the number one Amazon new release, Pinnacle Book Award as well, Best Woman's Interest Book, That's Life Beyond, hashtag Me Too, creating a safer world for our mothers, daughters, sisters, and friends. And she was co-author with Shark Tank star Kevin Harrington of the number one international bestseller, Cracking the Rich Code, Volume 4. A real pleasure chatting with her because, again, the conversation, they go by so fast, but they're rich. She and I were just talking about that. Today we're going to be talking about leading for innovation. Now, I do encourage you to go back in our archives because during April we've been having some really, really phenomenal conversations about business and leadership, maintaining momentum and morale, the leadership disconnect, leadership presence. And on this week, we're going to be talking about leading for innovation. So you can hear all those in the archives at Close Up Radio as well. Let's welcome back Christine Rose from Seattle, Washington, for another 30-minute conversation here on Close Up Radio. Christine, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure. Hope your day is going well today.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be with you. Yes, it's a beautiful day.
That is fantastic. A beautiful day in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers once said, and said many times. You know, speaking of that, those days of Mr. Rogers aren't necessarily around. The world is changing constantly and so quickly. From your perspective, as we really start to, in this half hour, for the next 30 minutes, dive into leading for innovation, how can leaders keep up so their companies don't become obsolete? Again, with everything changing so constantly and so quickly.
Oh, that's a great question, Jim. You know, we are in hyper change. This world is changing so fast. Did you know 90% of the world's data was introduced over the past 3 years? It's like,
it's
wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about two things really quickly that can help them on keeping up. And the first key practice is to stay ahead of change. That is to know the market, right? Know your market today. So if you are running a company, you've got to continually be in touch with and aware of your customers and what they want. Think about Blockbuster Video. You know, they were huge. and they collapse because they assume that what worked before for their customers is going to keep on working, and what the customers wanted is what they would continue to want, even though Netflix went to them and gave them an opportunity to look at innovating. They're like, eh, they laughed in their face, right? And they're not here anymore. Borders Books used to be huge, and they did not adapt to customer preferences and change, and they went bankrupt in 2011. And so you've got to stay in touch with what your customer wants and know your market. And the next practice is you have to stay in touch with the world today, what's happening today. Not only do you need to know your market today, you know, you need to know what is happening in the world today, or you got to be monitoring trends. You know, AI, if you're not seriously looking at AI or already using it in your company, you're behind. Robotics, blockchain technology. All of these things are impacting businesses, even if you're selling heating and cooling systems, even if you're selling vegetables, even if you're selling guns. I mean, whatever it is you're selling, whatever it is you're bringing value to the world, these are trends that are going to Internet of Things. You know, these are all impacting the world. Everybody used to go to the circus. Everybody used to go to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. But entertainment options exploded with gaming technology. And they closed their doors in 2017, did their last show. Dress Barn used to be in every mall, and they could not adapt to online selling. And they closed 650 stores in 2019 because the death of in-person retail at the mall is, you know, it's a thing. And also it led to Starbucks closing all the Teavana stores in 2017, even though they had paid $620 million for them only 5 years earlier. So these two practices of reading your market, knowing your market today, and knowing the world today, you to be practicing them continually. And if you're only doing this sporadically, you're going to be obsolete, right? If you're only noticing these things when you think about it, you're going to be obsolete. There need to be people on your team who hold the promise for keeping a pulse on what's happening in your market and on what's happening in the world. And you have to be sensing change early in order to keep on top of innovation and avoid becoming obsolete.
So important. That's the key right there. Nobody wants to become obsolete. And again, you have the tools and strategies to help people avoid that through their leadership. What is, from your perspective, Christine, innovation? I know that changes so much, like you just mentioned, in the last 2 years, so much has changed in that vein. How can leaders generate innovation in their companies?
Yeah, Jim, we want to think about innovation as being more than inventing new products, because innovation is actually a practice or a system of practices. What it does is it helps you know what people value and want before everybody else. It helps you offer new solutions or create new answers to problems. It helps you get adoption from users that see value. Innovation isn't just about, oh, I came up with a new product idea. It has to get bought by everybody. They have to see the value and say, yeah, I want to be that person in line. I'm going to be an early adopter. I'm going to be a mid-stage adopter. I'll be a late adopter. But, you know, people are buying into it. Innovation is supporting the change in systems that make the adoption sustainable over time. And so it's the process of not just creating a new idea, but making sure that it happens to deliver this promise that you I've got this new offer, I'm going to make this new promise, got to be able to deliver on it. You've got to execute on it, and I've got to integrate that and reframe it in my business so that we're not just changing the product, we're changing everything. And you think about some failed innovations like New Coke. I mean, nobody ever wanted New Coke. That was kind of a thing where Coke says, we think you need something new, and we're going to, in this Coke war thing, we're we're going to come up with new Coke. Nobody adopted it. So that was a failed innovation. Amazon invented the Fire Phone, and it didn't work because it wasn't providing the same value as their competition for the price they were asking. There's a company that kind of understands innovation from their experience, if you think about phones and BlackBerry, because they were the innovator in cell phones. They were widely adopted. Everybody had a BlackBerry. And then they tried to launch a tablet, but it wasn't adopted by customers because it couldn't compete with the iPad. So by 2016, BlackBerry also lost market share to other mobile phone companies. They went from 85 million in 2013 to 23 million in 2016. So they decided to cut 4,500 jobs and shut down as the revenues couldn't keep employees, couldn't keep enough employees to serve the customers they had at the time. And so what they did is completely pivot and change their focus to cybersecurity. And now they're leading in cybersecurity with an AI-based security solutions, security management platform, critical event management system, and software to secure embedded systems in companies. So they totally innovated by reading the world, recognizing, okay, when they failed at the BlackBerry thing, they didn't read the world then. They didn't read what their customers want. They didn't innovate there, but they innovated by kind of switching to a different market. And in a constantly, rapidly changing world, innovation isn't an option anymore. It's a must. And it can't be haphazard. It can't be sporadic. It has to be an ongoing practice of the organization if they want to thrive and if they want to survive.
That's essential, absolutely. You know, companies, I would imagine, they have to make sure innovation is ongoing and not just sporadic to make a lot of these things that we're talking about come to fruition. What should companies do to make that happen so innovation is not just, you know, up and down here and there?
Yeah, so you generate innovation by having it be a culture and not just a skill set of certain people who are inventive in your company. To foster innovation in your company, you need to create a culture that sees change not as a threat, but as an opportunity. And since humans are wired to see change as a threat, companies are made up of people, of humans working together, delivering on these shared promises to their customers. This is not an easy feat. So the first obstacle to innovation is culture. And what you need to do is companies need to bring safety of noticing what's wrong and calling it out. They need to create a culture of psychological safety. And we've talked about this on other podcast episodes, Jim, but if there's not psychological safety for all employees where they feel like they belong, they're an important part of the team, they feel it safe to learn, they can make mistakes and bring the mistakes to the team and learn together from them. They feel it safe to contribute from their knowledge. They feel it safe to challenge the status quo, tip over sacred cows. If you don't have that, you're not going to have an innovation culture. You may have some innovation happening, but you won't have a company-wide culture that accelerates people's contributions, that lead to the awareness, that lead to the problem solving and design work, or that lead to leadership supporting it. Execution to consistently create innovation across the board. So first of all, culture. And secondly, a huge obstacle to innovation is focus. We get what we focus on. If we're so focused on delivering yesterday's solutions or competing against somebody who's looking at yesterday's solutions, we're not ready for the changes that customers are wanting for tomorrow. Companies need to adopt a lens of innovation, and they're then focusing through this lens of innovation and invite employees at every level to contribute to conversations that are going to lead to innovation, whether those are about sensing change, reporting on customers' needs, inventing solutions, executing a launch, engaging customers in adoption, engaging the community or the network to keep on kind of figuring out what the changes are happening. You have to stay ahead of those things, and there has to be a focus on innovation and solving problems. So, for example, who's ever selling front-loading washing machines, those companies need it to be safe for employees to tell the stories from their customers that their customers are saying, we just hate the smell of those things. And they need to let engineering know it's a problem to be solved if they want to stay on top of customer needs, and they don't want that to, you know, that's just kind of an example. So the first one is culture. The second one is focused. And then the third obstacle to innovation is a lack of practices. And so what company leaders need to do is support ongoing practices leading to innovation and change. And these are practices of innovation. So leadership needs to support employees doing these things that will help innovation happen, whether it's engaging in networks of learning. They have to spend some time knowing what everybody's doing and what everybody's learning, because you can't be in a silo. Whether they need to support training and education, also support customer outreach and conversations. If you've got product development happening without customer conversations, you might be the new Coke, right? You need to, and they need to support company-wide conversations inside the company that will make it easy for innovators to generate new ideas and offer change opportunities. They need to have these conversations happening across the company, breaking down the silos so that departments are talking to each other and change that. What I say is change that leadership doesn't support won't happen. So leadership has to support practices of innovation.
Actually putting it into practice, actually having it come to fruition. Are there costs and benefits of an innovation culture? And if so, Christine, what would you say some of those are?
Costs. Innovation is not free, right? There's costs across the board, whether it's frontline, in the middle, people, you know, mid-level managers or senior leaders, there's costs. And a huge one is time. However, it's going to be a benefit, you know, and so let's look at some of the costs. To understand what's happening with customers and to read the world and understand what's happening with the world takes an investment of time and money. That it's a cost. Research and development for new product ideas costs money. Google has a ground rule, it's fail quickly, but they're willing to invest, and so they're pretty innovative. Change management costs money and time. So once you've got a change, or once you've got new products, or you've got a new systems or new way of doing things to support development of new products, as you're changing the organization to do that, that costs money and time. It also costs money and time to engage in networks and partnering for collaboration. And it also costs sometimes giving up good ideas. There's a collaboration and networking happen that's open source learning that didn't used to happen. And so people are looking at intellectual property. You know, there's a kind of a cost benefit between sharing versus guarding intellectual property, and you've got to weigh that in there. It costs money and takes time to let go of old power structures and reorganize companies around change. So whether that means hiring people for new jobs or letting people go or changing job descriptions or changing roles or realigning, you know, kind of who's doing what, those conversations and that change costs money and takes time. Bringing together different departments that used to compete in order to deliver a new offer together costs money and time. It takes money and time to communicate well in organizations and to train people. And when you're, you know, when you're working with employees that spend a lot of their time on their cell phones, it costs money and time to kind of track and figure out where's the innovation enrichment opportunity versus what's just sucking people's time away. But all of these things are investments that companies need to make. But when you look at the benefits of an innovation culture, they're so huge. And so kind of like if you don't keep track of the benefits, you're almost extinct. So the first one is relevance. If you want to be a company that's relevant, you care about what your customers care about, and you take the time and invest the money to make sure you understand what that is. And that benefit is that your offer is meeting the needs of the customers in the moment. You're relevant. The second benefit is community. If your company is the one who's creating solutions for people to problems that people have, you are going to inspire people who want to join with you to create those solutions to the problems you're solving and you're promising to solve for your customers. And you're going to be a part of a community that's trying to solve those problems. And as in us, you know, for example, as car companies have joined with the innovation of electric vehicles versus gas, there's now a community that's creating infrastructure changes in our country that's creating solutions to the problem of vehicles that are contributing to global warming. So it's part of its community. That's a huge benefit to having this culture. And thirdly is longevity. If you are serving the greater good and you're engaged in innovation and you're reaching out to your customers to solve their problems in innovative ways, you're not going to be the dinosaur because you are the one who's, you are the company that's serving the greater good. And, you know, it may seem self-serving, but it's really not. It, you know, you're not innovating just to stay in business. You're innovating because you care about what your customers care about. And by serving them and serving the greater good, you're going to be the company that's still around. Those are some benefits. And how do you put a price on those? Well, you know, all the money and time that you invest in providing for your employees, for example, in order to keep their jobs. You know, imagine what it feels like to have to fire 4,500 people all of a sudden when you realize that you weren't reading the world very well or you weren't keeping track of customer costs. It's a lot. It's a lot less expensive to invest some as a culture, as a practice of the company, than it is to kind of lose it all later.
Exactly right. Yeah, that is so true. You know, there are some resources that I know you'd recommend to leaders who want to really better foster innovation in their teams. What are the best resources, would you say?
Well, I do want to share CEO Excel, which is a time-saving virtual learning community where CEOs with 1 million-plus revenue companies can mastermind together with other CEOs where they're learning from one another and where they have access to coaching. Coaching is a remarkable tool for helping leaders make sure the innovation conversations happen and helping companies make that switch from kind of an oblivious culture to an innovation culture. and make the changes with teens to create that psychological safety, which without that, you don't have innovation happening because people are not going to bring their new ideas if they're going to be at risk personally. So in the CEO Excel community, you have access to mastermind groups, coaching, online learning tools, and innovative service provider partners that help you solve your challenges and increase the value in the business. So for that resource, go to www.ceoaccel.com. So that's one, Jim. And for the leaders that are not CEOs, or if you're a small business owner and you're not in a million revenue, I would love to invite you to check out my website, www.coachchristinerose.com. And to book an exploratory call conversation, we can look at specifically where are some opportunities for you to foster an innovation culture in your company. And I also have a couple book recommendations, Jim, that I really like. One is called The Innovator's Way, Essential Practices for Successful Innovation. And it is by one of my mentors, Bob Dunham. So Peter Denning and Robert Dunham. And it's just a really good understanding of some of the myths around what innovation is versus what it really is and what these practices are that I'm talking about. And then there's another book about practices that I like that's newer. It's called Built to Innovate, Essential Practices to Wire Innovation into Your Company's DNA. It's by Ben Bensow with Carl Weber. And that one really also goes into that this is not a one-and-done thing. This is how we need to do business all the time in order to have innovation be wired into the DNA, part of the culture, and just to always be on the lookout for what are the problems, what are the changes, you know, what are our solutions that we can bring, and let's fail quickly together and keep on going. And in those conversations and in those books, I wouldn't recommend reading them once. I would recommend reading them as you're having a conversation with the book to really get not just the gist of what they're saying, but to start to make it a part of how you think. Because innovation has to be a practice. In order for it to be adopted by community, it has to be a practice.
Exactly. Another half hour that is just so rich, and I keep using that word because it is. It's these conversations are so jam-packed with everything so well thought out. And I really encourage folks to make contact with Christine because she puts her heart and soul into everything she does, and she goes the extra mile for her clients. And she has these unique and innovative ways of looking at things, you know, from a business point of view, but also with the understanding of the human condition, blending it all together. And that's why she's so revered and beloved and busy and successful. So I would encourage folks to make contact. You can go to CoachChristineRose.com as well, in addition to all the other resources she just mentioned. And Christine, always a pleasure, and I look forward to the continuation of more in-depth and very impactful conversations with you.
Thank you, Jim. It's been my pleasure today. I look forward to more conversations with you, too.
I do as well. Keep up the extraordinary work, and we'll chat again real soon. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time till next time. We appreciate our very special guest, Christine Rose, and we also appreciate you. I invite you to stay right there. I'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest as well, celebrated around the world on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.